All of the podcasts here at the Sideshow Network are now with a touch of a button on your iPhone and iPad. With the new Sideshow Network app, tune into all your favorite podcasts here at the Sideshow Network. Go to iTunes App Store, search for Sideshow Network, and download our free app to stream all of your favorite Sideshow Network podcasts at any time you want. The top comedians in the world are at your fingertips with the Sideshow Network app for iPhone and iPad.
Welcome to Puck Off, everybody. This is Joe Bartnick here. My co-host, Fraser Smith, is out again, but we have another very, very, very special guest. The hilarious, talented Mike Young is here.
Not just in hockey.
No.
Also coming.
He just told me he was directing his own movie with some great guys in it, Michael Rappaport, Brian Callen. What's the name of your movie? We'll plug it real soon. Right now.
The movie's called My Man is a Loser. Yes, and we are all losers. It is. It's starring Michael Rappaport, John Stamos, and the very funny Brian Callen. And I wrote and directed it. It was very cool, very fun.
That's just awesome. And the other, besides being like a quadruple threat in Hollywood,
threatening.
We have so many. Everything, every guest we've had on has played some sort of hockey in the last couple of years. From being a fifth line goon that I am in the comedy hockey pickup league, to our last episode we had. Michael from Alias, he plays celebrity hockey. But you are actually the first guy that we've had that is actually in a competitive hockey league.
Full blown, Joe. I take my hockey as seriously as I take my comedy. It's we fall somewhere in between the league that you're talking about. We fall way below pro and just above probably the Alias guys. League, you know what I mean? But yeah, it's competitive. I've been playing with the same dudes 10 years out here.
Wow.
The name of the squad's the Reggie Dunlop, a la,
Slapshot.
And bro, it's no joke. My whole life is based around how do I get a championship. I held the movie off for 4 weeks just to make sure I had time to get the playoffs in.
And you won, didn't you? You won the championship.
We won a championship. You can look it up. The Reggie Dunlop. I'm sure there's.
And you didn't walk away. You came back for the trying for the repeat.
I tried for the repeat. That didn't happen. A couple guys had injuries, old man injuries, a couple plantar fasciitis, a couple ACLs,
MCL,
a couple kids, people had kids, a lot of things happened in that
league. It's a tough league to keep everyone together.
It's hard to stay healthy in that environment.
You can always tell who's throwing the big checks, they have health care.
Yeah, exactly. It's a competitive league though, man. I was telling you out there, and it's a lot of entertainment dudes are in there, but obviously there's the police team, there's a team of cops.
Well, that's gotta be no fun to play against.
Kind of chippy, I will say. All props to cops, but this team happened to be chippy.
You don't want to face them on the ice, because you may face them on the 405.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And I've faced them myself personally in both places. But I was telling you, I got into a little scrap in the corner. Some dude kind of half cross-checked me in the back a little bit. It's strong, heavy.
You saw your numbers and didn't let up.
Saw the numbers, didn't let up, came at me strong. I turned around, we started to get into it, and I looked through the mask, and I recognized him, and it was David E. Kelly, the writer who's married to Michelle Pfeiffer. I don't know if they're still married, but I remember thinking, not only is this guy worth probably $180 million, but he's pretty strong for an adult league writer. You know what I mean? The guy had skills. But it's competitive. We stay competitive. I personally, and I'm sure you feel the same way, there's nothing better than healthy competition as a grown man.
Oh, it means more than you were a kid, because you're a kid, you're out there for your grandfather, your dad, and your uncles, and just... You're worried about trying to get laid, but as an adult, it's like, I'm married. I got nothing else to do.
Right.
All I live for is scoring in a pickup hockey game.
Yeah, we'll try being single and bringing a new chick to your game. That's where I'm at. I'm bringing new girls to impress them.
Impressive. Is there open, I mean, not open league, is there adult league bunnies, hockey bunnies?
Yeah, there's three of them. Almost all of them have teeth, and... they don't look up at the game. And if you look into the stands, at any moment, they're all just reading different magazines, not watching anybody they came to see. Yeah, nobody cares.
Not even their phones. No, they're on they actually brought a magazine. Yeah. Like, oh, my battery may die. I better have a Vogue and backed up.
Literally. I've had my girl who I was dating, she'd been to 5, 6, 7 games. No idea what number I even am. Doesn't care. It's not, you know... This isn't high school anymore. In high school, I was getting gifts. You know what I mean? Chicks dug it.
Now, so no what position do you play?
Defenseman, man.
Oh, that's there you
lifetime
go.
Lifetime defenseman. Started out, you know, in when I was a squirt or even a mite, I was playing forward. But I had a crazy growth spurt when I was like 12. I shot up like 6 inches in a summer. And I came back and I was really good at skating backwards. And right then, after that, I went into squirts and became a defenseman and stuck with defense and loved it because I realized I didn't have to skate as hard up front. I wasn't as winded. And I also liked checking. I liked hitting and just, you know, I just liked playing D, protecting my goalie.
Yeah, I never played ice as a kid. We always played street hockey, but I love playing. I was a defenseman. I love people suckering people in the corner and then drilling them.
Yeah, you're a big fella, man. Joe, for the listeners out there, don't mess with Joe should be the name of the next show. Because I could see you messing some people up.
Oh, one of my classic. I played in a roller hockey league in San Francisco, and I quit. I quit a month into it because I literally just absolutely destroyed this dude into the boards because I couldn't stop. I can stop easier, much easier. I'm not a good skater, but I can obviously stop playing ice hockey.
Yeah,
I cannot stop on rollerblades. And well, I mean, this is when I was like in, I was like 200, now I'm like 260 pounds of Crown Royal. That's when I was like 230 pounds of burritos. Right. Yeah. And I just absolutely Chelios this dude. Yep. And it was just like, I felt so bad and I quit. Cause I'm like, I'm not out here to hurt people. Like, well, I don't want to hurt anybody.
And you probably didn't
I didn't even mean to check him. It's no checking. Like, I just crushed him.
Yeah, you can't. Well,
it was Go Ed roller hockey and I destroyed a dude. It's like,
That's what you got to learn about roller hockey. You've got to start the stop 15 feet early. Cause I don't care what people say. Doing that hockey stop on rollerblades, very few people can do it. It's only those little kids that like learned. They don't even know how to ice skate. They're just roller players.
Right.
We played in the championship out here. I played in a roller hockey league, El Segundo.
Oh, yeah?
I'll never forget. First game, big fella like you, my defensive partner. Up front, Kevin Connolly from Ontario, you know, the kid from...
Yeah, that's one guy I'd let to cream, though. That'd be fun to cream him.
He'll turn around, he'll hit you with a stick in the head.
I'm sure he would. He's a little guy.
Irishman.
Yeah, he's a little Napoleon complex.
Yeah, he played center. The dude on defense said to him, yo, man, listen, I fire a strong slap shot. I just want you to know when I fire the puck, get out of the way. You know, Kevin's got ego, so he's like, listen, bro, don't you worry about your own slap shot. I'll be fine. I stay in front of the net often. Guy winds up on the first play of the game. We're playing with like that 2-pound red ball.
Oh, I still got scars, bro, from the red ball.
Fires the red ball. Probably, I'd say, 190 mile an hour slap shot. Hits Kevin dead in the back. And just all you hear is like, it sounded like just skin to skin. It was just like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that dud, that just like that thud. He went down and
It sticks to the skin for a couple seconds.
Yeah, sticks literally. He was hurt for a while. But roller hockey, that's no joke. I've had bench clearing brawls in roller hockey.
Oh yeah, no.
I've had police show up at the rink.
I think you would tell that story.
This is in Detroit when me and my
it didn't happen. That didn't happen in El Segundo. That was a Detroit story.
Detroit, I'm in the corner again. Dude hits me with a cross check extra hard in roller hockey. I turn around thinking, can you curse on this thing? Can you curse?
Yeah, we try not to
curse. I try not to curse too much, but this motherfucker, I turn around and I'm thinking I'm going at him. He's still coming at me. And we drop gloves in roller hockey. And boom, I take him out one shot. He goes down.
But you're also a boxer.
I box for a while.
People don't know.
I can throw a punch.
Yeah.
So I knock him out. He's down on the ground, turtled. His boy comes over and takes a chopping, like a baseball bat.
Phil Kessel.
Fucking hits me in the arm. My arm goes dead. I'm like, oh, this is what a broken arm feels like. dead arm, numb as can be. I look up, no joke. My brother and four of my boys come from the stand, jump over in their tennis shoes, and we just start going to town. And it's a full-blown melee at a roller rink. And the police showed up, and all kinds of crazy shit happened. But we lived through it. If I saw that guy right now, I'd knock his. I'd blast him.
You
again.
Still know his face. You still, or you knew. Yeah. You knew him, or you just
didn't even know him. No,
but you
in
know
the
his
league.
Face.
But who
yeah.
the hell takes a baseball bat swing with a stick? In
did
a
it, did it break your arm?
Didn't break it.
Oh, just
it
that
just stunned the nerves.
Yeah.
I just, whatever it did, my arm was dead, and thank God it came back to life, along with comedy and making movies.
So, do you think that being a boxer though did that help you at all in hockey?
No. You know what? You could fight better than me. So could I. Was never a good hockey fighter because I would go into like if I was planted, and then I could throw punches. But like in hockey, it's a different animal. It's all about balance and like getting your footing and then being able to throw. It helped. Boxing helped fighting just because I knew how to throw a punch. But hockey fighting and boxing fighting, two totally different animals. Probert used to train at Kronk down in Detroit. Like he would train. But he had the base of a balance of a hockey player, and then he learned how to throw a proper punch.
Okay, because it seems like more guys are taking boxing.
They are, but that's because they already have the balance down as to how to fight in hockey. I learned how to box, you know, before I really had my good fighting balance in hockey, so I wasn't a great hockey fighter, and I really wasn't much of a
weren't in too many hockey, other than pickup games that went ugly. How many hockey leagues were you in where you could actually fight? Not that many, probably.
I mean, growing up playing, obviously, you know, high school, you know, college, club leagues. You can. There's no law. You do fight, but, you know, I wasn't a huge...
But you had the full shield and the full mask and everything, right?
I didn't go full shield in men's league. I went no shield. I went nothing. I was crazy.
Well, that's me, a comedy pickup.
I got nine stitches here, black eye, chipped tooth. I was a dummy.
I'm already ugly. I'm like, how are you going to do? I could literally, the helmet I had with the facial that I was just telling Michael, yeah. like, it was giving me migraines. It was too tight. So I'm like, yeah, what are you going to do? Look at me. Look at my nose. I got like Brad Marchand's nose.
Yeah, that's
like,
strong. You got a hockey player's head.
Like a Lucic.
Yeah, no one's knocking you out one punch. No.
Probably not. But, you know, my problem with hockey is I'm a terrible, terrible skater. I mean, because it's what even Bag, people can't believe my hands.
Bag was on my team.
Oh.
Ian Bag, he played defense with me.
Oh,
in a men's league one time.
He didn't say he was in that competitive league. He's never said that.
He was only on our team for a minute.
He's been my guest many times.
Has
he?
Oh,
really?
For a minute, he played on our team, and he was damn good. But I don't.
Oh, he's really good.
Really good. But this is when I didn't even know he was a comedian. This is year like 10, 11 years ago before I ever met Ian.
Wow.
He played on my team was playing defense, and he's a damn good hockey player.
Okay, that's a good question. I think it's interesting.
He didn't tell anybody he was a comedian.
I think it's interesting for our fans to know this because we, as our comedy hockey podcast, we've always said that Bag is the best comedian hockey player.
Listen,
how does he stand up in the men's? Was he like the best player in the men's
solid.
League?
I mean, he wasn't the best player in the league, but he was definitely a top-tier defenseman.
Because he's always with us guys. Like, Burns a good hockey player, Steve Burns.
Burns solid.
And a couple of, he's always, he's like, solid. Plays a half... Bag against all of us plays at, like, half speed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he's just, like, coasting. So.
Yeah, Ian Bag can play hockey. No joke.
Well, he played juniors.
Did he?
Like a year or something like that.
Yeah, he can play. He's real deal. I'd say he's the best comedian I've seen. Coulier, I played with, he's got skills, but he doesn't have Ian Bag skills. I'd say Ian's probably the best comedian dude I know.
Yeah, well, now we have it on, not just recommend, now we have an actual not a pickup comic hockey guy. Guy that played in the men's league can now say that, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Bag was a hockey player before he was a comedian.
Right.
I play hockey my whole life and don't call myself a hockey player. That's why people love hockey. Like you're saying, you say you can't skate, but you love the game of hockey.
Oh, I go out there.
I was a better basketball player in Detroit. Like I played summer leagues in Detroit, like had real basketball skills, chose hockey. a sport I was mediocre at because how much fun it is. It's just the best.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is I only played street hockey. Because until Lemieux, there was two rinks in town. I mean, in ta- I mean within like 100 miles.
Right. Wait, where is this?
I grew up in Pittsburgh.
Oh, yeah. You're all over hockey.
So then Lemieux came in. Now there's a hockey. You throw a dead cat, there's hockey. But when I grew up, all we did was play street hockey. So literally, I'm not bragging, I got sweet hands.
Yeah.
Like, I got sweet hands from playing with the orange ball. Yeah. And everything, but I can't skate with a damn. So, like, I mean, I can't.
Yeah.
I can't really skate. I can't skate backwards. I got to do the whole thing, like, turn around.
Do you really?
Yeah, I can't skate. Dude, look.
Yo, you know what you should do? Go to a, I'm not kidding.
I had Bill Burr paid Bag to give us, like, a private lesson one time. So those guys were doing that.
Go for a 1 week camp. And you will, in 1 week, learn how to do, just make one quick turn and you'll go back. It'd be worth it for you.
I didn't want to embarrass myself because I did comedy for the Mary Lemieux cancer benefit.
Yeah.
I did comedy and there was like 42 Stanley Cups in the ring.
Wow.
In the room. They all love me. I'm hugging Trottier and wow. Recchi and all these guys. And they're like, you got, and Lemieux love me. And long story short, they're like, you got to come on the ice tomorrow. And I'm like, no, I'm glad you know me as but I should have went and I should learn how to play from those guys. I should learn some tricks from those guys, but maybe this year, but just after the glow of killing from like, I'm not going to go there and break my front teeth in front of them like the next morning.
Not just that. I wouldn't vote for them to teach you. I would go secretly on your own to a camp and come out. New Joe Bartnick, and just all of a sudden you're flying backwards. Go! Don't even tell them you went. Go to a camp.
Well, that's what they were saying. Like,
I know the guys that run these camps, and they run them out of El Segundo. I'll hook it up.
Oh, you know what? We'll plug them, and then maybe I'll work a deal 1 week with Bartnick
because skating backwards is fun, man. You got to get your skating backwards.
Especially
for a defenseman. What are you skating forward as a defenseman?
Oh well, no, because I never played ice as a. I only played ice like. I've only played ice in California except for twice in Pittsburgh my whole life.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah. No, we just played street forever.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, that was our deal. I mean, it's great because it sticks in violence and everyone can play.
It's in your blood.
The nuns used to let us play in grade school. We used to like move the tables in the school and just play hockey.
Yeah. Pittsburgh. I don't know if I told you this, but when the Wings played Pittsburgh a couple years ago in the Stanley Cup Finals, I, as an experiment, thought to myself, me and my boys are on a road trip. We said, you know what, we're going from Detroit to Pittsburgh. We're going to the game. as a human condition experiment, I'm going to wear my Wing jersey to an away game.
Excuse me.
I had never done that before. And I knew Pittsburgh was rough. I wore an Eiserman jersey into Pittsburgh Stadium. Horrible idea. I would never do it again. Within 10 minutes, I had chicks starting fights with me, dudes calling me a pussy, trying to beat me up while I was in line at will call. I'll never do that again, but it was quite an experience. That was the finals. We beat you that game. I think it was game 6 of the finals. We beat you in that. What's your rink called over there? It's just a crazy old.
Now it's the new console, but in those days, it was the Igloo. It was the Pittsburgh Civic Arena.
This was in the Igloo.
And you won game 5, right? Then we won game 6, and then you won game 7.
Yes. Yes. That
was the year we won the cup. We won that. Did you go the year we won or the year we lost?
The year you lost. We won the cup that year.
Okay, then you won
game. But you won the game I was at.
Okay, then.
Oh, no. I don't remember. Years are blending into me.
You won on home. You won in our ice on game 6, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you.
But it wasn't that game.
So you were there for game 4.
It was game 4.
Okay.
But I just remember wearing my jersey and it was just a bad idea. They were violent, they were rough. Chicks were in my face like, "Who do you think you are? I'll kill you." I was like, "Ooh."
Mike, you're a tough kid, but there's someone in Pittsburgh that can throw.
Hell yeah.
You don't want to mess with them hockey broads in Pittsburgh,
dude.
That's a lot in my day.
I would not fight a Pittsburgh chick that's angry about the Penguins. I was always bitter.
I mean, obviously, I wanted to win so bad, but I was bittersweet in those series because I was telling you off the air that Detroit was always my second favorite team growing up. Until I moved here, now the Kings are. But they were always my second favorite team for a couple of reasons. Mainly because in Sega hockey, my roommate was always the black. See, well, we couldn't be the Penguins. We couldn't. Right. So one of us was
Why? Because the division or the game didn't have the Penguins yet? and Sega.
Oh, because it's like we both wanted
the
Penguins.
Oh, you both wanted the Penguins.
So it's like, you know. So, okay, no one's the Penguins. So he was always the Blackhawks. They were ranked like 99, and maybe like the Red Wings were ranked like 96. So I was already in like a hole, and he beat me for like a year straight. Like I never won. So I finally won 1-0. I put it on the calendar. I fucking put it on the calendar. But they've always had a little bit in my heart. And like I love the Red Wings. But also, Fedorov. Is like non Penguin my favorite hockey player of all time.
Yeah,
I mean, he was a witch
when he came to Detroit. Well, Datsyuk's the new witch. Got the best hands in the world, if you ask me.
He's the best,
but he's the best offensive and defensive player in the game. No, he is a magician.
He can stick handle in the phone booth. That guy,
literally a phenom. Like even the guys on the team are like, we've never seen anything like this, but. Fedorov, yeah, when he came to the Wings, he just lit up the whole city, was excited. That was a crazy time. You know, the Wings were like the first team to start recruiting those Czechs and the Russians.
Oh, the Russian Five.
The Russian Five. Konstantinov, Fetisov, Marianov.
Fedorov.
Yeah, those were some interesting stories. I mean...
Oh, the Russian mob?
The Russian mob... Yeah, you like to. Yes, they were sort of involved, but it was Detroit. It was Ken Holland and the Ilitches. They would go to Russia. The stories of how they got the players over to America was some crazy shit. They would like fake an injury in the second period. No joke. Like they wanted me to write a movie about Peter Klima's story. So I met with Peter Klima, you know, old Red Wing. Okay. And he had these crazy stories where, like, he faked an injury in the second period, went to the locker room. They got from the locker room, he got undressed, got into a town car. Town car took off. They go, everyone's got money in their pocket. They start paying off customs. Boom, boom, boom. Next thing you know, Klima is in America.
Oh.
They were smuggling players. It's documented shit, but it would make for an unbelievable movie.
Yeah. Well, that's how Malky got here. He got drafted.
Yeah.
And he just, like, went to an embassy and hid, and then like he hid in L.A. for like he was like training down in El Segundo for like a month.
Yeah,
under an assumed name.
Yeah,
and before he came to the Penguins, just like he had to hide out.
Yeah, if they own that league out there, right? The KLM.
Yeah, the KLH, I think.
KLH. Yeah. So you got to go over there. Obviously, you got to pay somebody over there.
Right.
Say, here's the money. I'll meet you in the forest. We'll meet you in a forest.
Right.
You'll give them the money, and they will release the player.
But in the old days, like Fetisov, you know, I don't want to talk out of school. Like I read a big article, like expose that like Fetisov was really like one of the main dudes. Like he had connections to like whatever Gorbachev and the gangsters and right, like he's the guy that got facilitated everybody and like they couldn't mess with Bure because Bure's family was like
Pavel Bure
was one of the only guys that couldn't get messed with because he had his own people that could like
it was just, Val Bure. Val and Pavel Bure, they had their own organization that you can't touch. And then there was like the Fetisov, the Larionov connection.
Right.
Larionov was tight with like the highest of high ups. A buddy of mine was going to start a vodka company with Larionov from Detroit. So he took a trip to Russia. He said going there with Larionov, it's like you're going with the president. You're in armored trucks, you know what I mean? You're like protected. You know, I wanted to take a trip over there. I just know myself. I'll drink tequila. I'll yell about America. I'll end up getting beat up. I'll get kidnapped by the Russians. I can't go.
You ever see Larionov's two daughters?
Yeah. The singers?
She was a singer. Yeah. They can do whatever they want.
Yeah. I saw one.
She could perform surgery on me. She could be a doctor for
I saw care. One. I haven't seen both of them.
Yeah, well.
Doesn't she live here?
Yeah, because one of them worked for the Penguins for a while, so her big thing was she would make videos with Malkin. And they were like internet sensations, like cooking stew with Evgeny Malkin. It would get like a trillion hits. I mean, she's like, you know, she's like
stew. It's code for.
Yeah, well, no, it was a cooking show. It's on the web. It's like it's a legitimate, but it's like literally like it would get like a million hits.
I got to check it out.
Yeah, she's. I mean, if you listeners, I forget her name, but it's Larionov's kid.
Yeah,
and she literally is like an 11. Like, she's
does she
like,
have Larionov's last name?
Yeah. Yeah, you can just look her up.
I gotta look her up.
Yeah, she's incredibly looking. Like incredible. Not like, oh, and we live in L.A. We see a lot of hot broads.
Can we look her up now?
This chick is incredible. But getting back to but Detroit though, you know, I just always liked that. And how can you not love Stevie Y? But it was funny, they were always like one person away, right? And I just remember when they traded for Shanahan, it was like when the Sixers got Moses Malone.
Yeah.
Like you knew it was over.
Yep.
Right when they got Shanny.
I mean,
he brought everything that team just needed, one ass kicker.
Yep.
Someone to stand up for those guys.
I remember reading an article about Shanahan. He was talking about like, you know, he's a beast.
Oh, yeah.
But in the article, he's like, I like to read Shakespeare in my spare time. I like to read Dostoevsky. I'm a reader. Yeah, you're a reader, bro. You got three teeth and all your head knuckles are broken. You are a reader.
Well, that was his joke. And the media guy would always be like, climbed Kilimanjaro.
Right.
Like, it'd always have like lies in the media guide.
I saw Chelios when I was home. That dude's still in shape. He could play right now. He's playing. They're doing the alumni game.
Yeah.
I'm actually going back to Detroit for New Year's. I'm going to the Winter Classic.
Oh,
Detroit,
my God.
Toronto.
Yeah.
In the big house in Ann Arbor.
That I wanted to go so bad last year and it got canceled.
What an event, man.
I know.
The NHL, that's like the Super Bowl. They put on such an amazing event. I went to Chicago, Detroit.
Oh, how awesome was that?
Off the hook. It was one of the best things I've ever been to. Just as a hockey fan, player, fanatic, you are just like in
You're
hockey
making me
heaven.
So
I'm psyched.
Freaking jealous.
Yeah,
dude.
My brother's got tickets. Going.
All I wanted to do this year was we're playing in Soldier Field, Penguins. Blackhawks.
Oh yeah, that's gonna be you're doing that Winter Classic also this year?
Yeah, there's like five Winter Classics this year, and even the one in Dodger Stadium, Kings Ducks. I'm booked for comedy every single one of those.
Damn, that is a hell of an event.
I know.
You should have hooked up the podcast at one of those games.
I think Frazier is gonna do that. I think we're gonna do that. I've done all 30 of these now. Frazier's missed half of them.
Yeah,
Frazier's gonna be the one. You know, him and Robitaille and And that Team Mussolini will be live at Dodger Stadium.
That is a cool.
I know. And I literally, I'm with Lampanelli, so like, I can't. It's buying my house. I can't.
How are they going to? How are they going to do that at the Dodger Stadium? What if it hits like 80 degrees? Are they going to?
They had it in Vegas in August one time.
Outdoor.
So if they could do that, yeah,
they did
they
outdoor
have to
in Vegas.
Yes,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was like a preseason game, Kings Rangers.
Yeah,
like a long time. I think Gretzky was a Ranger then.
He
was a King.
One of my dreams, honestly, after this movie comes out and I get to like direct or whatever, but I want to make like some kind of cool, fun commercials for the NHL, so that the NHL can get the popularity that like the NFL, the MLB, all these leagues are like blowing the NHL out of the water. It's like, when the strike went down, what bummed me out the most was like, you didn't hear a lot of Americans bitching. It was almost like no one really was caring. Yeah, it was you, me, and Frazier.
You're right.
It wasn't helping the cause.
But hockey
should be a popular sport.
It's gaining back, though. You know, attendance has been up every year.
Good.
The ratings are up. They just signed that $5 billion television deal.
With who? NBC?
No, Rogers in Canada. But it's extra money for the league. You know, I mean, I just think, you know, at some point, it's just never going to be as popular as...
Because they can't film it. It's hard to watch hockey if you don't know the game, just on TV.
And I think
it's for the average dude.
I think it's culturally, they just can't. I think it's almost to the point where, like, they have to pretend that other sports are better because it's more culturally diverse.
I don't know, man. It needs some help. I think it needs help with like the way you know baseball players, like their personalities, the way you know football players, their personality. They're always on commercials. They need to start doing some fun like NHL stuff.
Well, you know what's funny is I was working for the NHL last pre-strike. I'm going to put this out on my website coming up, but we shot a bunch of pilots. Not pilots, a bunch of funny interviews.
Yeah.
To make the people, because the players, for the Player Association, because they wanted, so like everyone knows Crosby and Ovechkin.
Yeah.
They want like other guys to get known.
Yeah.
So we're just going around and trying to make them fun. And the guys that were interviewing were such nice, cool dudes.
Yo, they got great personalities. Yeah, Hockey players are funny dudes.
And they're also the salt of the earth kind of people. You know?
Yeah.
It's just good people. But, you know, in a way, I kind of like hockey being like the non. I'd rather just like, it's like U2. When U2 was great whenever they were like,
right.
Before like he's, they're playing disco tunes and he's wearing shades.
Right.
You know, let it be on the level where like, I like it, right. You like it. I don't need everyone to like it.
No, but I just don't want it to go away. I didn't want it to go away. Like, well, I was like, oh, well, if hockey just goes to Europe, we're not going to be happy.
No. Well, you know what though? I think that is like, I think, and you know, the way I drink and eat, I could be gone, but it might not even be the next podcast. But
good for you, bro. I'm 90 days sober. Just congrats.
That's why you look. Is that why you look so good? Not to have a blow fest here.
Yeah.
But you really look. Do I look
healthier? Can you tell?
Yeah.
No tuna melt face. No tequila in my eyes.
No, you came in. You looked healthy.
Yeah,
you
look, I'm healthy. Bro.
You're still playing.
Yeah,
you're still playing.
I got a shot.
You're still in the game. But what I mean is, I think there's going to be. I think Europe, as they get planes that can travel faster, I think there's going to be like, you know, 12 teams in America and like 12 teams in Europe and Russia.
Yeah,
I think that's going to be in our lifetime.
Interesting to see.
And then I think it'll be awesome. Because then you're really going to have just superstars playing for real, like, you know, like whatever. Like, you know, I mean, Pittsburgh probably won't even have a team at that point. But it'll just be like New York, Boston, Chicago,
and
probably Detroit,
Russia,
like Toronto.
Moscow.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Like Rome. Rome versus Moscow.
But now you're talking differences in styles. Like, right. I had a friend, my buddy Andre Zuzan. Zuzan was drafted second overall, came to America to play, stayed in the league.
You were friends with that guy?
Yeah.
What, did he have a problem or anything?
He didn't have any kind of drug or alcohol problem. He just had a play in America problem. He just had the super highest level of skills you could have, but he didn't adapt as well to the American game. He didn't want to mix it up in the corner. He didn't like to hit. Like, I hate to say that, but like, he's a defenseman.
So unless, you know, you got to hit somebody.
The knock was he wasn't going strong into the corners. And I love Andre and he's my boy. But yeah, and I would tease him. I'd be like, yo, bro, you got to mix it up. You're a big, giant monster.
Well, he came to San Jose. So I was living I was living in San Francisco then. So I saw all his games. Yeah.
I dated his sister-in-law for 5 years. Yeah.
He was great. It was just like, then he just like, he just disappeared.
Yeah.
He literally like just disappeared.
Yeah.
He's probably still playing in Russia. He's not that old.
No, he's in Russia playing right now, probably making, you know, $2 million a year cash in an envelope.
Right.
You know what I mean, that's how he's getting paid.
No, exactly.
But they love him over there, but he didn't adapt well to the American style. And you know, it's there's a difference. You know, you got a guy like Datsyuk, he does it all. He's Americanized in his play. He'll fight you. He'll dig in the corner with you.
Right.
You know what I mean? But he'll also come out and be a magician European. Well,
it's the puck possession European versus the dump and chase of the Canadian or Canadian standard.
But he does it on a level that's never been seen. I mean, I think every player puts him at number one or two right now. I do.
As the best player in the league? I think he's the most talented player.
You could put him, you know, maybe 2 years ago you could say that. I don't know. I personally I dissect his game. And he's not as fast or as bullish as Ovechkin. He's not as smooth looking as Crosby. But you watch the little things he does, he'll take the puck away from anybody.
He's definitely top five. He's top five.
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah. He's for sure.
Man, I've never seen a dude be able to steal a puck from another player like him. He'll pick your pocket. It's just like, no one can do it like that.
No, he really is. I mean, it's funny because I just watched I watch every game. I have the ticket. Like, I watch every game. So it drives my wife crazy. But it's funny because now watching him, Datsyuk has played the last couple of games, but it was no Datsyuk, no Zetterberg.
I know.
It was like, who are they?
No doubt.
You know, no Lidstrom. I mean, let's talk about the greatness of that guy. Are you kidding me?
Talk about a perfect player, like a perfect defenseman.
Yeah.
A guy that never made mistakes.
Ever.
He's like
and controlled and played 22 years, never made it.
Yeah.
Like never made it. I never saw him make a mistake.
You know what that is? That's brain. That's the brain. That's like the highest level intelligent hockey player you can be. I mean, they used to say Gretzky saw the play like four plays before it happened. That's how Lindstrom is. You know what I mean? You see a guy breaking out, but he's throwing it off the board over here. You're going, what's going on? Because there's a centerman that you didn't even see that he saw out of the corner of his eye flying down to get it. He's a genius.
I mean, like,
I love him.
To play that position the way he did, it was an art. Because
absolutely,
because he was not he he was not tough in the corners per se, but you never beat him on a play in the corner.
No.
Uh-uh. He didn't have to be tough.
No.
That was his brilliance.
Right. He used every bit of what God gave him.
Yeah. I mean, if he had to be, he would be as tough as he needed to be.
Exactly.
But he never needed to be that tough.
No, Lindstrom was the best to watch. You know? I mean, 22 years at that level. Yeah. It didn't even look like he lost a step in his last few.
No, that boy was such a crime when he retired. Yeah. It was like, well, he could still play.
Yeah. And that's what I was going to say. The alumni game is filled with dudes who can still play.
Oh, yeah.
The alumni game is going to be like a game, just like a regular game. Like they're doing Toronto, Detroit before the Winter Classic.
Right.
They're doing like an alumni thing.
I know. That's why I wanted to go to that more than the other game when the Penguins did the Capitals. And then they just so pussed out like, oh, it's 10-10. It's getting cloudy. Let's like, you know, it's 5-5. Let's make it a tie.
Right.
It's like, fuck Dale Hunter. Make it a tie. Oh, what is he?
They didn't do that. They didn't do that when I went and saw Pittsburgh Detroit. They played hard. Detroit came back and won.
Oh, you saw the alumni game?
No, the Winter Classic game I was talking about. Like I didn't see the alumni. I thought you were talking about I thought you were saying the guys let it go easy on the Winter Classic game.
No. They started doing the alumni games.
Right, right.
Yeah, so I think the Penguins Capitals was the first one.
Right.
Because they just wanted to get Lemieux out.
Right.
Like, oh, we can. So it was like 5-5. It's like, oh, the ice is going to get in bad. We don't want to hurt any old guys. We're done. It's like, no, wait. We got Francis, no. I want to beat Dale Hunter. Like, yeah. I don't want to tie.
Right.
You know, like, oh, my God. I mean, and the NHL, they weren't thinking because they just sold, like, 10,000 seats for charity.
Yeah.
It's like, no. Then they realized the next year they sold out the whole stadium, wherever it went. Because it's like, no, more people would see the alumni game.
Right. Give us a shootout. Give us a shootout. Let someone win that game.
Yeah. Exactly. I don't want to tie. But it was like, you're going to Dale Hunter walk away with a tie.
Right.
Like get out of here. So, but you're going to see both. That's just
It's going to be a full, you know, Hollywood New Year's Christmas. Would I like to be doing stand up on New Year's? Absolutely, but I don't have a gig right now. So I'm looking forward. I'm looking straight up forward to just a week of hockey.
Yeah.
Alumni game, Winter Classic. Me, my brother, my nephews will go down. It's just going to be awesome.
Growing up in Detroit, did you ever meet Gordie Howe?
You know,
he seems to be like. Everywhere.
I never met Gordie Howe. I met Mark Howe, oddly enough, but I never met Gordie. I've seen him in the same area, but I never got to like shake his hand.
Right.
You know, like that's a dude who I'd love to just shake his hand.
How just awesome that he's still around, just kicking it. You know, just not even like around, but he's like in the stands, like you know, pumping his fists and
just
stuff.
Just a
like,
badass.
Yeah.
Legend.
Just a legend. Yep. I remember the Sports Illustrated when he was like. Playing for the Whalers.
At 50.
And he was, I never forget it. It was like the year in pitchers, and he was in the hot tub, and like Gordie Howe at 51.
Yeah.
Playing with his kid.
Yeah. Like playing 50. On the same team as his 50. Kid.
That was what Yager was teasing. He's like, Gordie Howe played till he was 50.
Yeah.
So
a lot of dudes are playing high level in their late 30s. I can't think of anyone right now, even though there probably are a couple of dudes that are 40. Yeah. I don't know who the oldest player in the league is.
Well, it's Yager right now.
What's he, 41? How old is Yager?
I think he's like 41 or 42. Yeah, him and Solani.
I mean, think about that, bro. I'm 40. You know what I mean? Like, I'm 40. I'm hurt right now from coming up the stairs. like, coming up to the, you know, the Levity podcast stairs. I felt something in my knee. That dude's playing at the highest level.
I was telling Michael.
We still have a chance,
I was
Joe.
Out of breath putting my shoes on this morning. Like,
yeah,
I mean, it's a sad statement, but
you got to get in shape if that's the case.
I know. Well, dude, I know.
Start walking or something. Just start walking around the neighborhood.
I don't even know if you live in a neighborhood. I've been walking. I had pneumonia last year, and I just kind of let some shit slide.
Really?
Well, yeah. You get pneumonia, you beat you down. Yeah, you just like, you can't do nothing. You know?
Right. It's
like, just sitting upright with... Just like getting to the gigs and doing the gigs was like, you know.
Energy.
I know. But it was a year ago, and I got to be.
No excuses.
I got to be.
Joe. I'm sending you to camp. You're going to defense camp at El Segundo.
I'll be down there next year. Yeah. That's my Pittsburgh. I'll be down there next year. I'll be your defense partner down there.
Then I'm sending you with Rogan for a month of grappling.
Oh my, no, I don't, Rogan, I'll die.
Yeah.
Oh, I would die. I know, I'm not.
I used to open for Rogan a lot. We'd go into those, you know.
Dojos.
UFC gyms. Yeah, everywhere. He's like, you want to roll? I'm like, hell no, bro. Everything I do fighting, I'm on my feet. If you throw a kick, I'm done. And if you wrestle me, I tap immediately. I don't do well in headlocks. I don't do well in grappling situations.
Isn't that funny, though, how like he's so funny and so cool? Like, how to do all that before the show?
Well, you know.
Well, he kill a bunch of people.
Judo or a
he's
karate
like a
champion.
Black belt or something.
As a kid. When he was a kid, he was like a champion. He's a disciplined dude. And I've heard like his spinning back kick is known as like the hardest in the country. Like St. Pierre said on like on camera, Joe Rogan has the hardest spinning back kick I've ever felt. He's no joke, bro.
No, I know. But isn't that kind of funny though? Like how you can do all that and then
and still be funny.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, you know,
because tough isn't funny. But so to be able to be funny and knowing, you know that, yeah, it's a gift.
Yeah, because I mean, literally, I mean, not like I want to look, but literally, like if I work out for a while and I kind of get my shoulders back up big, it helps me get like, you know, mob stand and work.
Right.
But it doesn't help me like when I'm in Cleveland doing dick jokes.
No, hell no.
Because people are like, they don't want to see a 300, they don't want to see a 260
pound,
leg breaker.
Right.
They want to see a 240 pound alcoholic talking
right,
to him. You
right.
know, it's just, it's the
truth. Well, that's why you got to talk about being an alcoholic.
they can see.
Don't tell them that you can press 400. Don't tell them that you can press 400.
Yeah. Do you want to, we'll give them a roll. We might have our enforcer expert. Earl Skankel, we're going to try to hook him up. He has some things to say.
Skankel, bro. You take this. He should do shows with his shirt off all the time. You ever see him with his shirt off?
Unfortunately, I've seen a lot of Earl. When we used to do some shows together, he used to like do like the poetry of the penis.
Right.
So
he would just pull it out and talk.
I'm not home right now. So leave your name and number.
Okay. I guess Earl is unavailable. I can hit you. We can try the cell phone maybe, but he wanted us to call him at home, so I guess he's not home.
Skakel's a beast. No one knows it because he plays the nice guy, but yeah, I wouldn't want to get into it with Skakel. I don't even know if he fights, but I would.
He plays in roller hockey leagues all the time. He's not the guy that goes to the gym before he does comedy.
No, he is the guy that goes to the gym. You said he's not the guy, or he is?
I said he's another guy.
Yeah.
I mean,
he takes his health very seriously.
Yeah. You know, because what I do before, the other thing I'll do before I work out that's close to, I mean, before the set, before that's close to any of that, would be that I steam.
That is the opposite of what the gym is, but that's great. Do you go to Voda Spa?
No, but, you know, like, I'm sorry, I'm on the mic front. Like, I'm actually trying to look up Earl's number, too. No, like, if I'm in a nice hotel. Which I usually am, like if I'm with Lampanelli or Burr.
Yeah.
Then I'll go steam. It's like working out without actually working out. It's the best.
Yeah, I don't have Earl's cell either.
I have it. The hell with Earl.
All right.
It's
Earl.
A good conversation anyway.
Good new haircut, Earl. Good new style.
How about the Wings? We talked, they're kind of nondescript. Do you think they're going to make the playoffs this year? I thought it was a bonus from the move east.
Yes, I think they're going to make the playoffs.
I think
that's
so
just my
too.
Hope and drive.
I picked them to make the playoffs. I mean, I didn't think that, barring the injuries, like I thought they're the third best team, at least in the top three of their conference.
Did you watch 24/7 last night? You know, there's a 24/7 Wings Toronto.
No, I didn't see
on HBO. Yeah, they're doing like the 24/7. I feel like that was my idea, but. They're doing 24/7 Wings Toronto on HBO, and last night was the premiere.
Oh, I love the Wings. I love the because the Penguins were the first one. That was like the best.
That was the best.
They're all great.
Yeah.
Just that guy's voice. Like I can hear him.
Liev Schreiber.
Yeah, you can hear him talking about like a dog taking a dump, and it's just like the most intriguing thing. You know,
a dog walks into a room.
Yeah, I didn't even know the ebbs and tides of an NHL season.
Yeah. They'll turn goonies.
Yeah, I mean, I know
poetry.
Women that like I didn't ever watch hockey, but that's just amazing. I didn't know the guy was an actor until a couple weeks ago.
A badass.
Or a couple months ago, I didn't know he was an actor until then. Yeah, well, that's a good thing for the league, though, like 24/7.
Yo, I'll tell you something funny about actors and, like, hockey. I tried, you know, before we did the movie, I wrote the movie as the guys were in a hockey league together. So I said, you know, they play hockey together in a league. So as we got closer to shooting, I finally had to call Stamos and Rappaport and Callen and go, yo, can you guys skate? Do you even know how to ice skate? I said, because the guys are in a hockey league. So then it went from like, I'm like, I had to go back in the script and rewrite ice skating into roller skating, rollerblading. Then I called, then Rappaport calls, and he goes, yo, bro, I can't rollerblade. I just can't stand up on rollerblades. Callan, I could do anything. I can't rollerblade. Now I had to, then I had to change it to street hockey league. I'm like, can you walk with a stick? You know what I mean? Can you talk and walk and move a stick? Just pretend?
Yeah.
So it's funny because it's a skill that you can't just like, you could probably give an actor like a month in a boxing gym and they could pick up some enough to look like they know kind of what they're doing. But you can't like fake hockey in a month. Like you, I could never have gotten those guys ready to play hockey. You know, like, so I changed the whole,
right. Well, I
changed it to street hockey.
I think we were just talking about, we were actually talking about this, but I think rollerblading is harder than ice skating.
Like to actually
move around and control yourself.
Stopping, I mean, it is, obviously. Turning is harder.
Yeah.
There's a lot that's harder.
I think it's all harder, except going fast.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's harder. You know, seriously, I think you can go faster, yeah, but I think it's harder to do everything else.
It's a fun league, man. I need to get back into a roller league. I want to get back into a league. I say that, I haven't really had the
time. A league you can fight in.
Yeah. I started boxing again. Just like I wanted to just go wake the body back. Like after the no drinking, I just decided getting back in the boxing gym. So I go to Freddie Roach's gym.
Oh, right on.
With like the real goons in there. Just like real fighters. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. And dude, you look good for going down with Freddie Roach.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Anthony, my producer, doesn't he look, you can just yell, doesn't he look good for fighting?
Well, I'm not fighting Roach. I didn't say I was fighting Freddie Roach. I said I'm in the boxing.
No, I know, but I mean, are you sparring?
I haven't sparred. No, no, no.
Oh, okay.
No, I have not been in the ring yet.
But okay.
I'm getting to that point where I'm going to get in the ring and start mixing it up.
Heavy bag hasn't swung back yet.
No, heavy bag, speed bag, crazy bag, jump rope. It just wakes the body up, man. And like you get in that rhythm, it actually helps your comedy. Like, I'm much more loose again on stage. There was like a few years where I didn't box. I just felt like stiff on stage. You know, like, are you ever like body conscious on stage sometimes and you're just like,
yeah,
you notice that you're not moving as much?
Yeah, no. When I was
boxing to me just kind of like cracked my body back open and I'm just moving again.
No, it feels great. I have a buddy of mine in San Francisco, he runs a dojo. So when I'm up there, I'll go work out. I don't fight, but I just like, do all the moves and everything.
Yeah.
You sweat a ton. You feel good. That's the thing. Like hockey is like, I'll go play, you know, midnight, just sweat. Oh, you feel great. Cause I hate working out.
Yeah.
I got to do something that's like, I like
fun
doing that. I happen to sweat doing.
Yeah.
Than just going to the gym.
100%.
You know what I mean? That's what's so great. But, I like to get back in. I like to get back. I like to do a little boxing, but I don't want to fight.
Yeah.
Look at my face. I've been in enough fights. Like,
yeah,
dude, like my nose, like my dog can break my nose.
Were you a scrapper growing up?
Yeah, I was a scrapper.
You are?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm from Pittsburgh, dude.
Yeah.
The girls fight in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I can see you scrapping. I had my first fight in high school against a dude that looked like you. Just a big boy. I thought just took a lucky great swing. It was fun though.
It was never. You know what though? As an adult though, I worked from the age of like 18 on. I worked as a bouncer and security like that. And as an adult, I've never been in a fight as an adult. I've broken up a million. I've broken a million fights and I've hurt people that haven't like calmed down. But I've never been in a bar like Mike Young, fuck the Red Wings.
Right.
And like,
As an adult, you look at how to not fight.
Yeah.
Now you have skills to not fight. Like, that's what I'm looking at. Like, how can I not fight? Yo, I came out of a restaurant last night, no joke. A dude was sitting in my car, a drunk maniac, not a maniac, just a drunk animal, was in my car texting in my driver's seat. So he was hammered and thought he was in his car. No joke. I was on a date. I came out. Boom. My girl's on the other side. She's like, are you sure this is your car? I'm like, no, actually. Maybe I'm not sure. I'm like, yo, bro, get out of my car. He's like, yeah, right. And he tries to shut my door. So in my mind, I'm like, there's three things to do. I'm like, I'm either going to bust this dude up right now.
Right.
Then I was like, I don't want blood in my car.
Yeah.
Number two, I don't want a lawsuit. Number three, he's like a little fellow who's like lost and drunk.
Right.
So I just called the cops. And I was like, I called 911. I'm like, listen, I'm holding a dude who's stealing my car. And he's here. And then when he realized that he wasn't in the right car, he just got out. Still had an attitude. Like, still was mad at me. And like walked 10 cars down, got in his car and left. But that was like the mentality. I'm thinking like, I don't want to get in a fight.
Right. Guy. Yeah, no. Because there's no, especially like, you know, Growing up in Pittsburgh and then like working in Pittsburgh, like you knew everybody, you knew all the cops, everybody. It's like you never had a problem. You get in a fight out here, like I'm not going to count. Like get out of here.
Ask Frazier someday about the fight that I had out here. He knows. I got in a fight out here. We'll save it for another.
Yeah,
podcast.
We'll save it for.
I got in some real heavy stuff out here.
Speaking of fighting and not fighting though, we'll take. What do you think of the Thornton Brooks Orpik situation? Did you catch all that?
No, I didn't catch it.
Oh, it was like the biggest major. Basically, Orpik in a clean check destroyed Louis Erickson.
Yep.
Like destroyed him.
Yep.
So then Thornton, you know, the Boston goon.
Yeah.
He came out. He wanted to dance with Orpik. Orpik's not a fighter.
Yeah.
But he hits a lot of people. He doesn't fight. So then another scrum ensued like minutes after Thornton had a 2-minute like roughing penalty. Thornton comes up to the scrum, slew foots Orpik. Punches him 3 times when he's on the ground.
Does he knock him out or he just like hurts him?
He knocked him out, stretcher, whole 9 yards. Orpik's out indefinitely. Or Thornton's got a 15-game suspension.
I agree. I hate to say it. Yeah,
no,
Thornton went old school on him. He's like, yo, you get one of ours, I got to get you. But too bad, Thornton. You know, you knocked the dude out. You could have, potentially
killed
the guy.
Well, he slew footed him, hit him when he's on the ground.
You cheap shot him, then you knock him out. A guy that doesn't fight. Bad look for Thornton.
Yeah, bad look. It's a bad look for the. That's the thing is like, I mean, it's funny because I was.
You gotta go get your dude. You gotta go man for man. He should have taken him out in a different way. I don't agree with like cheap shot to the ground knockout.
I say
come face to face, go at it, win the fight. But that's it. I'm not down with the cheap shot.
When a guy's on the ground,
yeah,
you can't punch him. I mean, the old joke is kick him. Yeah. It's easier.
Yeah,
but. You can't hit a man when he's on the ground. I mean, yeah. You can't come up behind a guy. I understand, but I mean, because I had a discussion with Michael Vartan, the previous guest. We did two in a row. If I said it a couple times because the holidays, the great people here at Levity want to take a Christmas break. So
yeah,
we're packing them in. So this
will come on January 10th.
No, I think like the 2nd or something. Okay. It's the holiday edition, the New Year's edition.
Yeah, I like it.
It's great. You're doing it's fabulous having you here. Thank you again.
We'll do a couple
more minutes, but getting back, we talked about this off the air, which was kind of cool, so it's fresh. My thing with Orpik is, you know, like what Thornton did was criminal. I mean, I don't bring the court to, but he saw, you know, come up from behind the guy, slew foot him, which is an automatic suspension anyway, and do what he did. But my thing with Orpik is this: I know the hits were clean, but when you go around crushing people, every now and then, you gotta drop the gloves.
Yeah,
and it's only Thornton. I mean, they didn't send like LaRocque. It wasn't just like
LaRocque will shake you unconscious. Yeah. I've seen him shake dudes and like sort of half knock them out by just grabbing their jersey and shaking them like laundry, like getting lint off of a shirt.
I mean, you can't see it, but it's funny. Like he would always like take off his helmet and then say good luck to the other guy.
Yeah,
as a cordial, like the Queens rules of Queensberry, whatever Queensberry rules. Like good luck, my friend. Or like McIntyre,
right?
Just an animal, you know. It was Thornton. I mean, he doesn't want to fight that time because it was a clean hit. Then you got to respect him in the fight. But just in general, I think every now and then, if you're going to play that type of game, just to protect the Penguins play, just because you don't want people just running Crosby and Malkin because you didn't feel like fighting. I mean, whether you like the code or don't like the code, that is the code.
Did you see the documentary Last of the Gladiators?
No, I went with Chris Nyland, right?
Yeah, my boy was set to direct that movie. They want to make a movie about it. It's a great documentary.
I heard it's amazing.
It's amazing.
It premiered in Pittsburgh.
You see all the heavyweight champs in that thing.
Yeah.
And there's a shot of Probert, you know, getting revenge on some dude who's already half turtled.
Yeah.
And he goes up, he does a little semicircle, a little half circle, comes in, dude's on the ground, and bam, just hits him with like an uppercut and just whoo, he just goes flat. I say Probert's heavyweight champ of all time.
Oh,
all time.
It's undisputable.
But you got to see this documentary because it gets into the mentality of fighters. And a lot of dudes, Mike Hartman, who played 12, 13 years in the league, was a friend of mine, and he was a fighter. But by nature, he wasn't a fighter. In his heart, he wasn't a fighting type of dude. And there are dudes who end up fighting in the NHL who don't want to be fighters. It's not in their heart. It's not in their soul.
It was George LaRocque was like that because he came to Pittsburgh and all of a sudden he thinks he's a scoring winger.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm saying the whole mentality of a coach going, go out there and take out Probert. Go out there and take out Hartman one time. He grew up playing with Joey Koser. Coach said, Mike, go out and fight Koser. He's like, yo, I'm friends with him. He's like, I don't give a shit. Go out and take out Koser. Meanwhile, Koser's heavyweight champ.
Right.
Hartman goes out and goes, yo, Joey, I got to fight you. And he said, Koser said, I'm going to hurt you, Mike. And sure enough, they went at it. And Hartman was a scrapper who could throw, he could throw a lot in a little amount of time, but never like the heavyweight knockout punch.
Right, yeah.
And he threw a bunch of punches, landed on Koser. Koser came around with an overhand right, bam, blasted him in his ear. And he said that he heard like, dude, for like 5 weeks in his ear.
Yeah.
His ear for weeks was just ringing. And he felt like that to him was like a low point in his life because he didn't want to fight him, but he realized he was just a piece of meat. And he had a job to do for the team, and that was just what it was.
Right.
Well, that's why a lot of those dudes end up depressed or on drugs or alcohol.
Right.
Because they get,
some of them don't, though.
No, no, not all of them. I'm just saying some.
Yeah, yeah.
There's just a few that have a gift of fighting, but it is not in their gut. But that's how they got to make a living.
Well,
it's a
minus Stanley Cups, probably my proudest moments as a Penguin fan were two fights against Probert because he's the heavyweight champ.
Who fought him?
Well, one was McSorley when he was a Penguin. They actually fought for like 3 minutes. They actually just tapped heads. Like,
yeah.
And it was like, and to see a Penguin last with McSorley. But then years later, we had a defenseman called Chris Tamer, who was a good defenseman or a good fighter. And he was known around the league as a good up and coming fighter. This is the exact quote too. Probert said, "Do you feel lucky, punk?"
Yeah.
Tamer caught him with the left.
I know the
Probert
punch.
Was looking for the right.
Yeah.
Tamer, and he
dropped him.
He dropped him. And it was like seeing Godzilla fall down. It's like some little Asian kid knocked down Godzilla.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Probert came back and fought him again.
Yeah.
Whooped his ass.
Yeah, exactly.
I remember that.
No,
that's in the documentary.
Oh, that fight.
Yeah.
The second one or the first one?
Both. To show that he was fighting the
champ. Now, can you Netflix that now or buy it?
I don't know.
It premiered in Pittsburgh because they were talking about how it's like sold out to get all the goons. And I mean, Nyland, I mean, he's like.
He's a special beast.
Yeah.
He's a special dude.
Well, he ended the Broad Street Bullies empire.
Yeah.
I mean, because basically, you know, the Canadians had the talent, but they needed someone to go in there and beat the hell out of all the Broad Street Bullies, and Nyland did it.
He was fighting them when he was in college. They had an exhibition game when he was at Boston College, and they fought. They played the Broad Street Bullies in some sort of fun exhibition, and he was a college kid, and he went and fought everybody on the team because he was fucking nuts. He could fight, yes, but he didn't have big heavyweight hands.
No.
He had little hands.
Right.
And he just – it was almost like that – I'm trying to think – the LaMotta, it was like Raging Bull. That moment where he goes, I'll never be heavyweight champion. I'll never be, you know, my hands are too small.
Right.
Nyland was like, had little hands, but had no fear. Had
no.
A straight up screw loose.
None.
Would fight everyone you knew. And that, he ended up, that documentary was supposed to be it was supposed to be about everybody.
But
his story was so compelling, it ended up being about him.
Well, they just showed, because Berube, you know, is a coach of the Flyers, so they just showed like all time penalty minutes. And Nyland's in like the top six.
Yeah.
Which is not amazing, but I mean, he wasn't a cheap shot guy.
No.
A lot of the other guys up there were just, you know, they get the 10, 20, 30 game, you know, the misconduct. No, his were all fives.
Yeah.
legitimate fives.
Totally. He wasn't a cheap shot guy.
No. That's what I don't like is the rats. I love the fighters.
Wait till you see this thing, man.
I can't wait to see. Well, speaking of movies, let's give yours one more plug.
Yes, let's plug it. It's called My Man is a Loser. Lionsgate will be putting it out in March or April of 2014, starring Brian Callen, Michael Rapaport, John Stamos. The story of two married dudes who've lost connection to their wives, so they get their like cool single buddy Stamos to help reconnect with their, you know, help them reconnect.
Oh,
with their
look
wives.
At that!
He gives them some single lessons, and they use them, and they get back with their wives. Blah blah blah. It's fun. It's fun, and your boy Callen is hilarious, and Michael Rapaport hilarious.
I can't wait. They'll get me off the NHL Network into the theater.
Yeah,
total pleasure having you, the great Mike Young. Young in Thanks, studio. Follow him at Mike Young.
At Real Mike Young.
At the Real Mike Young.
Just at there you Real go. Mike
and,
Young.
And I want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas. I think it's still coming out after Christmas, but Happy New Year. We'll be back with the Captain. Frazier Smith will be back. I'm Joe Bartnick. Merry Christmas to all the Sideshow people as well.
Thanks
Sean and Anthony,
me.
Everybody. Thank you, everybody. Be
Thanks.
Good.
Later.